Just today, Vice President Humphrey joined other presidential candidates in backing a study of such an idea, which some refer to as a negative income tax. Here to explain the plan is the man who first conceived the idea. He is Milton Friedman, the Paul Snowden Russell Distinguished Service Professor of Economics at the University of Chicago and a member of the staff of the National Bureau of Economic Research.
Professor Friedman, I imagine you've been accused of many things in your time. But one of them, I understand, is being the father of the negative income tax theory. Before we get into the controversy that may exist in this particular issue and all of the details, I wonder if you'd give us a very basic, simple explanation of what it is, this negative income tax.
Yes. Under present law, we have a positive income tax that everybody knows about, particularly now, a couple of weeks after they've paid their income taxes. And under the positive income tax, if you happen to be the head of a family of four, for example, and you have $3,000 of income, you neither pay a tax nor receive any benefit from it. You're just on the break-even point. Suppose you have an income of $4,000. Then you have $1,000 of positive taxable income on which, at current rates, 14%, you pay $140 in tax. Suppose today you had an income of $2,000. Well, then you're entitled to deductions and exemptions of $3,000. You have an income of $2,000. You have a negative taxable income, minus $1,000. But currently, under present law, you get no benefit of those unused deductions. The idea of a negative income tax is that when your income is below the break-even point, you would get a fraction of it as a payment from the government. You would receive the funds instead of paying them. For example, if we take a family of four with an income of $2,000, which had a negative taxable income of $1,000, if the tax rate below the negative rate were 50%, it would be entitled to receive back $500. Such a family would therefore end up with an income not of $2,000, but of $2,500, halfway between the $2,000 and the $3,000. Now, the rate doesn't have to be 50%, it might be 25%, it might be a different rate. I've used 50% for illustrative purposes. Carry it farther down. If the family had no income at all, it would have still $3,000 of unused exemptions and deductions. It would have a negative income of $3,000, minus $3,000. 50% of that would be $1,500. And therefore, you would establish a minimum income of $1,500, which everybody would have as a floor. Note that as under our present income tax, the amount of the exemptions and deductions depends on the size of the family. It's smaller for a family of two than for a family of four, larger for a family of six. So the negative income tax would automatically take care of the size of the family, giving larger sums back, having higher minimums and higher break-even points for large families and for small families.
Am I correct, Professor Friedman, in characterizing your views, generally speaking, politically and even perhaps economically, as conservative? If this were a correct characterization, this doesn't sound to me like a conservative proposal.
Well, it may not be, but that may be because of a misconception about what conservative means. And let's not get into that broad argument, but come to this one. The reason why it is a conservative proposal is because it is a proposal that is designed to give the individual who is being helped more freedom about what he does with his money. It's a proposal that's designed to reduce the great bureaucracy that we now have administering welfare and relief programs. And it's a proposal that is designed to enable us to get out from under our present burden of relief and welfare and dependency. It seems to me that in judging any proposal, you always must judge it in terms of the situation for which it's being proposed. I might not propose this under other circumstances, but today, you have a very bad situation. You have one in which you have millions of families who are receiving direct relief, aid to dependent children, other welfare payments.
About 8 million, I understand, total number are receiving welfare as opposed to a total of 30 million who are living below what the government refers to as this minimum livable wage for a family of four.
Yes. Well, again, I don't want to get us off the track. That minimum livable wage or income is a very questionable concept. But there are, as you say, about 8 million people who are receiving welfare. And the great problem is that the number who have been receiving welfare tends to go up, not down. As the country becomes more prosperous, the number goes up. Moreover, the people who are receiving the welfare of that 8 million, there tends to be a very large group of them who are permanently on welfare and have no incentive to get off. The present system has grave defects. In the first place, it's a very demeaning relationship for the individual. The person who's on welfare has to get permission from the welfare worker, from his social worker, to change the place he lives, to get gas installed, to buy secondhand furniture, because the whole idea of our present welfare arrangement is a paternalistic one. It's an idea that a government official, a welfare worker, shall run, essentially, it's not put this way in the law, but this is the way it works out, shall run the life of the person who is being helped. Moreover, under present arrangements, suppose you happen to be on relief. And suppose you go out and get a job which gives you $100 that you otherwise wouldn't get. If you're honest, you're supposed to have your welfare payment reduced by $100.
In some cases, you get no welfare payment if you earn money.
Well, if you earn more than the amount of the welfare, of the basic welfare payment, you get nothing. But under present arrangements, let's suppose you take a woman who is on aid to dependent children with some children. Suppose she goes out and gets a part-time job. If she's honest and reports that job, her welfare payment is supposed to be reduced by $1 for every dollar she earns. That's a little exaggeration because in the last year or so there have been some changes made. But broadly speaking, what I say is correct. But that means that the people who are on welfare, once they get on it, it's very hard for them to get off. Because if they get a part-time job, it always costs them something to get a part-time job. They have to have different clothes, they have to have some expenses for taking care of their children, and yet they get nothing out of it. In consequence, it only pays them to get off welfare if they can get off big. Yeah. If they can get a job which pays more than the total of their welfare.
I understand. Once off, it's very hard to get back.
Right.
You know, it takes a while
right.
to get back.
Well, now, under a negative income tax of the kind I've described, that situation would be completely altered. If the woman earned an extra $100, she would get to keep at least $50 of it under the 50% rate I described. Now, $50 isn't as good as being able to keep all of it, but it's better than the present arrangement of being able to keep none of it. So that under a negative income tax, it would be possible for the people who are on welfare gradually to work their way off by getting a small job, a part-time job, and building it up to more and more. And they would have an incentive to do so. In addition, under a negative income tax, the amount an individual received would be determined by filing a tax return. Just right now, you and I file a tax return, and that decides how much we pay. Under our welfare programs today, it's a very different matter. All people are divided into two classes, those who pay taxes and those who are not all. There are some who don't pay taxes and don't receive welfare, but there's a large group that are separated out as second-class citizens who receive welfare. And it's a very demeaning status. Under a negative income tax, everybody would be treated alike. We would all file returns. When we calculated out our incomes and our deductions and exemptions, some of us would pay taxes, and some in turn would receive a refund or receive a payment, not a refund, or receive a payment on the negative income tax base.
This you imply also, this so-called affidavit system or system of filing a return would eliminate in large measure the actual scrutiny and verification personally that the welfare systems have set up. This would reduce the bureaucracy of welfare in your opinion?
Oh yes, it would almost entirely eliminate it. You would still have a test, but the whole program would be run by the Internal Revenue. The test would be a test of income. Under present law, the test that a person has to go through to qualify for welfare covers much more than his income. It covers how much his assets are, whether he has any relatives who are capable of supporting him. It covers such questions as whether there's a man in the house capable of supporting the children, and so on. Under a negative income tax, it would all be unified into one program, which would be administered by the Internal Revenue Bureau, and which would apply the same standard to everybody. There would not be, the whole present welfare bureaucracy, from this point of view, could be eliminated.
Give us a little more information on the man in the house clause or issue, which seems to be a major one in many cases.
Oh, yes, it's a very important issue. The problem is that our present program of aid to dependent children says that the aid shall be given to children in cases where there is not a man who is a father, a man in the house, who is responsible for him. Now, again, I have to hesitate. This was a situation as of a year or two ago. It's gradually being changed. More and more states are altering the rules so that aid to dependent children can be given even though there is a man in the house if his income isn't sufficient to support it. But the effect of this has been very bad, because the effect of this part of the welfare program has been to encourage families to break up. In many cases, the only way in which a man was in a position to get assistance for his children was by deserting his family and leaving. And that seems to me a very unfortunate situation. Under the negative income tax, the situation would be exactly the same as it is now under the positive income tax. You can file a return as an individual, or you can file it jointly as a family, and the same thing would be true.
Professor Freeman, in our remaining moments, let's address ourselves to the question of how we get such a program effected into law, what the obstacles are, and in a sense how practical this proposal is. The first thing I think it strikes one in looking at it is that this must be a very expensive program and would seem to imply that the federal government would be taking on a gigantic increase in cost.
It's quite the opposite. Our present welfare programs cost the federal government something like $8 to $9 billion a year. This is, I say, our welfare programs. That's only aid to dependent children and direct relief and welfare. If you take everything that's called welfare, it costs us close to $100 billion a year. But if we take just this narrow category,
you're talking also
about
the building of low-cost housing.
Yes, if you take housing, if you take Social Security, which is described as a welfare program, if you take the farm program, if you take public housing, the whole kit and caboodle comes to somewhere between $50 and $100 billion a year, depending on how you classify education and other things like that. But if we narrow it down to the specific program to help very poor people, and the only programs we really have of that kind, or the major programs, are the direct relief and welfare programs, and they now cost about $8 billion. If you instituted a negative income tax of the kind I've described, a 50% rate on the difference between current exemptions and deductions in income, I estimate that that currently would cost something like about $9 billion.
Wouldn't the recipient then be getting less actual money?
It would depend. This varies enormously from state to state. In most states of the United States, the recipient would be getting more than he now does. However, in the wealthier states, like New York, Illinois, California, the program I've described would be less than they are now getting. But what we're talking about, what I've been talking about, is a national program, a federal program. I view it as a program to set a minimum. If the state of New York would like to devote some more of its income, its higher income, to raising the standards of the low-income people, that's fine. There's no reason why New York State should not have a supplementary negative income tax, just as it has a supplementary positive income tax. And so it's very, very hard to answer your question. On a federal level, most people now under relief would get more. But then, in certain particular areas, the amount they would get would be less, and that could be supplemented by the state.
Now, we're in a political year, and this campaign will see all sorts of issues raised. Do you anticipate that this issue will be raised by any of the candidates? And in what way, very briefly, is it likely then to be brought to the Congress? And what chances for success do you see?
Oh, I think it has very great chances for success, and I think it will be raised, because the fact is that our present relief and welfare program is a mess. It's an obvious mess. It's one which almost nobody has a good word to say for, from the welfare workers on the one hand to the welfare recipients. The program I've described is an appropriate alternative. It's one which would give the individual person being helped more freedom, more individuality, which would get rid of an enormous bureaucracy, which would, in the first year, cost a little bit more. But as the incentives which it gave to people to get off of it became effective, it would, over a period of time, cost less. So I think that there is every reason to believe that it will be proposed, and indeed that it will be proposed in Congress by the Republicans. Because the problem you have to face is, given the mess of our prison program, how do you get off from it? You can't simply eliminate it. That would be heartless,
and impossible. It would mean condemning millions of people to starve. You must have some alternative program, and maybe somebody will dream up a better program, but up to this point, this is the only alternative program that has been dreamed up. I might go back to an earlier question, if I may say a word. You were asking about how it would work. I've been describing it in very broad terms, and I think one of the questions in talking about this that I've gotten all the time, and I know that everybody is concerned with, is they say, well, now, what are you talking about? Poor people can't wait until the end of the year to file a return to get some help. But there's no problem administratively about that. Under present positive income tax, if you work for wages, your tax is deducted by your employer. Under the negative income tax, if you take a person who works for wages, but his wages are below the exemption limit, his employer would week by week supplement his wage by the amount that he was entitled to, so he would get it every week. Now you have a person who is unemployed. Well, that's exactly like the person now who has positive income and is not a wage earner. He is now required by law to file an advance estimate of income and pay it quarterly. In the same way, under the negative income tax, the person who is not employed for wages would file a form like the present W-1 or W-2 at the nearest post office or Social Security office, certifying what he expected his income to be over the year, the number of dependents he had, and therefore what his exemptions and deductions were. And he would receive his payment in advance, just as you have to pay your extra payment in advance. Then once a year, at the end of the year, everybody, the people who had received benefits as well as those who had paid taxes, would file a return which would just straighten up the loose ends, and there would be only small sums of money to be transferred. So there is no problem, in my opinion, about administering it. Indeed, one of the byproduct advantages of the negative income tax is that it would improve the enforcement of the positive income tax. Because since essentially everybody would have to file a return, it would be more difficult than it is now for people to avoid the payment of income tax by not filing returns.
The federal bureaucracy would close in on everyone.
Well, yes, in a way, that's right. That's one of the prices we pay for having a tax system, and especially for having such a messy tax system as we have. But remember, it's a question of the fact that we now have this enormous welfare bureaucracy, and it's closing in on a large number of people.
Well, Dr. Friedman, I think time is closing in on us, and I want to thank you as we discuss this negative income tax. Professor Milton Friedman.
Thank you.